Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels, live radio show, only at, where are we, latalkradio.com, which is located in Sherman Oaks, which is in the Valley of L.A., Valley of Los Angeles, San Fernando Valley, just in case you didn't know that. So we're going to let the music play out a little bit. But thank you for joining me. It is Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. This show is live, so there's no take two. So I can't say, I messed up. Ronan, can we run that back? No, we don't do that. We just keep it rolling, okay? So we're a live show. We just keep it rolling. I can't start the show today without, you know, giving my respects and regards and prayers and condolences to the family of Kobe Bryant, as well as the other family members that lost loved ones in that tragedy on Sunday. L.A. is definitely feeling it. I mean, everything is just kind of somber. It's kind of weird, kind of different, kind of eerie, if you will, especially on Sunday. But then, you know, of course, you know, yesterday and then even today, there's still a lot of, especially talk radio, there's a lot of stuff going on, tributes to Kobe and things like that. So, I mean, he was part of L.A., he's part of that fabric of L.A. So, I mean, I would be doing a disservice if I did not mention that, you know, I watched Kobe. I was a Kobe fan as well. More of a fan now of stuff that he was doing now. I've never been a Laker fan. Let's just put that out there. I've never been a Laker fan, but I like individual players, and Kobe always had that killer instinct. So definitely a big Kobe fan. And like I said, I like the fact that, you know, he spent time with his daughter and, you know, go to basketball games and things like that, coach his daughter's game. So that kind of resonated with me because I did the same thing with my daughter, you know, just spending time with her every game, never missed a game in all the years that she played basketball. So it's, you know, it's sad. But, you know, glad that he did, you know, he made a big mark on a lot of people in a short amount of time. So, you know, we never know when our time is going to come. That's for sure. He's only 41, really just getting into his life after basketball. But, you know, things do happen. And but it doesn't discount any of the stuff that he did. So, like I said, once again, my condolences and prayers to him and his family, his wife and all his relatives and things like that. And then we always forget about the other people. There was, you know, seven other people on that helicopter as well. So prayers and condolences to those families as well. So anyway, on with the show. So hello, thank you again for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. It's a live radio show, like I was saying, but after the radio show is over, it becomes a podcast. So it's out there forever, right? It's out there in cyberspace forever. So, you know, you can always listen to Russell of Hotels on latalkradio.com. If you're watching on Facebook Live, I do appreciate you listening on Facebook Live. If you are listening on Facebook Live, watching and listening on Facebook Live as well. If you're interested in that, for people that, you know, listen to it on the radio, you can actually, or on the internet, you can also go to LA Talk Radio's Facebook page, or go to your Facebook page, type in the screen or the box LA Talk Radio, and then it'll take you to theirs, and then you can find me in there. You can see me in there moving around. So that's the one you click on, and that's me, okay? So that's how you find that. So today is show number 43, right? Last week we did the show, and that was my first year anniversary. So that was show number 42. So we're counting down to, you know, 50 is the next milestone. And then after, you know, just continue. Let's take it a show at a time, right? Let's don't get ahead of ourselves. But I'm just blessed and happy that it's even come this far. And who knew, you know, a year ago when I was even thinking about this, that I would still be doing it. So I do, and I don't do it alone. So I thank everybody involved, you know, sponsors and things like that. That, you know, because this stuff is not free, right? I mean, somebody got to pay for this, right? It's not like LA Talk Radio called me up and said, "Hey, Russell, you want to come and do a radio show?" No, they didn't. Sam didn't do that. Okay, you know, he basically said, "This is what it's going to cost for you to do a show. What do you want? How do you want to do it?" And that's how that works. So, but I do appreciate LA Talk Radio, Ronan and Sam. They're great. So if you're ever thinking about doing a radio show, a turnkey radio show, meaning you just show up, radio show or podcast, you just show up here and sit down. Like I said, I mentioned last week, I used to, when I first started doing the show, I would get here extra early, be here almost an hour early, because I just wanted to, you know, kind of take it all in and see how this works or whatever. I get here like 15 minutes before now, you know, because it's easy. I can get here 2 minutes before. I can just walk in here, put on a headset, push a button, and here we go. Because everything's already pre-recorded and things like that, meaning the music and all that stuff. So all I have to do is push a button and all that. But I'm live, okay? So I'm the only thing you got to worry about, right? You know, I got to worry about what I'm going to wear and all this kind of stuff. Are these glasses? Do these glasses look good on me on Facebook Live? You know, I got to think about stuff like that, right? I'm being silly, right? So anyway, okay, we're going to start the show here. I'm getting a little crazy now. But once again, thank you for joining On Air with Russell Fotels. This is hashtag hospitality unplugged. What does that mean? It means we talk about what we want to talk about when it comes to hospitality or whatever. But just because you can say anything doesn't mean you should say anything. So I'm not going to be on here talking crazy or too crazy. You're never going to hear me. Well, hopefully you're not going to hear me cursing or anything like that, because my mom listens, so I can't curse on this show, because she'd be calling in the number, you know, telling me, you know, to get off the show. You can't do that. So, or you can't say that. So I'm never going to do that anyway, but I know she's going to make a comment about this later. But anyway, and for the year 2020, and I've been mentioning this, it's all about collaboration and connecting people. Because that's what Russell of Hotels stands for 2020 and probably beyond too. But this is something I came up with, collaboration and connecting people, you know, working with people, connecting the dots of other people that may need services or may need this, may need that. You know, that's what I try to do. So whatever that is, whatever that even looks like, I'm not even sure what that looks like at this point, but it sounds good though, right? But collaborating with people and connecting people and collaborating. I mean, that's what I want to do. Industry news. I had to put my glasses on and off because I can't see anything. You know what? As you get older, you know, I don't wear seeing glasses. I mean, these are reading glasses, right? But you know, in the last couple of months that I even got these new ones redid, you know, your eyesight is changing, right? So I have to have these on all the time now, almost all the time. So maybe one day you come and you have the show and I'll be wearing, you know, real seeing glasses or eyeglasses or whatever. Hopefully we don't get to that point, but you never know. So anyway, hotels confused about rise in legal marijuana. Why are they confused? I didn't get that. This is an article, you know, for the industry news. I just come up with stuff. I may see an article and I want to talk about it and just kind of throw that out there to people out there and say, well, what is that? You know, okay. Marijuana in hotels, okay. You know, the marijuana industry, I mean, they kind of legalized it, but is legalized on a state level, but it's not legalized on a federal level. I mean, there's always some confusion there. My thing is opt out of it. Don't even do it at all. But, you know, some people or some hotels are going to do what they do. But as we know in California and most of probably U.S., most hotels are non-smoking. OK, so that kind of eliminates that part of it, meaning you can't smoke anything. You can't smoke cigarettes and you darn sure can't smoke marijuana. Right. Or anything else. So that's out right there. But now they have but they've always had. But now it's at the forefront are these edibles, you know, like the brownies or different types of food that are infused with marijuana and all this kind of stuff. I don't even know what those taste like because I never tasted them. Never had a marijuana laced brownie or anything like that. But they're out there, and those are things that, I mean, hotels are on the fence. You know, should we sell that? You know, does it have the was it THG in it and things like that? I mean, because there's certain components, the component that makes you high, you can actually take that out. So you don't even have to have that in there. There's certain plants that they make, and I know this because someone told me this, not because from my own experience, but there's certain you can take out the THG and all this kind of stuff. So, but there's, you know, but people are on this fence, you know, can you, should we legalize it? Should we sell these kind of things? Should we, you know, our chef, should we start introducing, you know, cake pops with marijuana in them and things like that. So that's the things that I think people are on the fence on. But I'll say this here. I mean, this is Hospitality Unplugged, right? So I can say this, we'll say what I want to say. The ones that, this is just me saying this, the ones I think that will do it, have these kind of products that are available, and they even have body washes and body oils, soaps, lotions that are infused with marijuana. What those do to you, I mean, do for you, I have no idea. I'm sure the studies are out. I don't know. Maybe someone would have to call me or email me and say, hey, this is what this does. This is what that product does. But, you know, until you test all this stuff and you know for a fact that this stuff doesn't harm you in any way, harm people in any way, I wouldn't even do it. I would refrain from even having it available to my customers and to my guests. Because, you know what, that just opens up a whole new can of worms for people to have to deal with. You know, you're not just dealing with guests. Now you're dealing with guests that, oh, I had an allergic reaction to this. What is in this soap? You know, well, it was marijuana. Well, what kind of marijuana? Well, it made me break out and all this. I mean, you can just see where this will go. But the only hotels that probably will do this are the independent hotels, meaning not your major brands. I don't think I'm going to see any of your major brands doing this until, you know, studies are done and it's safe. And then the federal government okays it, right? I mean, because everything is kind of on the fence, ambiguous. I mean, you're not sure, well, in this way, this state you can do it, but that state you can't. But then if the federal government comes and do it, they're going to arrest you, all this kind of stuff. So there's too much. It's too, the waters are still muddy. So why would you even do it? That's me. That's just me saying this. So I don't think the Marriotts, the Hiltons, the Hyatts of the world are going to say, oh, yeah, let's embrace this marijuana-infused food and this and that. And this is just me saying this. I could be completely off base, but I would be very surprised if they did that. But a lot of the independent hotels, some of these boutique hotels, the smaller ones in kind of areas that are not as conservative, if you will, they will do that. Okay. They will maybe push the envelope a little bit. But, I mean, that's up to them if they want to do that. But if you do it, just make sure, you know, you're ready for all the backlash that can come with it, right? I mean, is it worth potentially losing business because of it? I don't know. But sometimes people want to take that. They want to push the envelope a little bit. I would not do it if it's my business. I remember Reggie McDowell. He would always say, Reggie McDowell was a vice president of Interstate Hotel. So I worked for him. He hired me at one of these hotels at the Hilton in San Pedro. And he would always ask me, like, if there's something that came up, right? He would have these glasses. He was always look over his glasses like, if this was your hotel, what would you do? You know, how would you handle it if this was your hotel, if you owned it? So that's my question. If it was your hotel, would you allow all these marijuana-laced products and drinks and all that stuff to be in your hotel? I'm just saying. I mean, people are going to bring in stuff that you're not going to know about, but it's one thing for that, right? Guests are going to bring in drugs and all this other stuff, right? You can't control that. I mean the stuff that you can actually control. you know, you're selling it on your, it's a menu item, right? And it's a, on a tabletop, right? Like marijuana infused martinis, you know, that kind of stuff. Okay, that stuff you control, right? I wouldn't do it. Just me. Hospitality Unplugged. Russell of Hotels said it today that he wouldn't do it. So there you go. Oh boy, I kind of beat that one to death, didn't I? Okay. Anyway, what else? So what do you think? So just, you know, they even have gumdrops. I didn't even marijuana infused gumdrops. Okay, whatever. Let's move on. Let's see. New era of food and tourism in hotels. What do you think about that? You know, I think it all came, you know, the last, I don't know, 10 years or so. When you start getting all these shows on TV, you know, Food Network TV, all these, you know, you go around the world and eat. And Anthony Bourdain was big on that, right? Experiencing not just the destination, but the food of that destination, right? Well, we've gone full circle now. You know, hotels or cities are, you know, creating, you know, tourism based on food, right? Like LA. I mean, we have a melting pot of everything, right? But I'm just going to throw out my favorite food, which is Mexican food, right? So tacos, right? Taco Tuesday, right? Today's Taco Tuesday. So, you know, a lot of them are getting into, you know, what's native to that particular area. So LA, let's just say Mexican food, although there's, you know, Korean and I mean, LA is everything, but I'm just, like I said, I'm mentioning Mexican food because that's my favorite food. So you get a lot of these restaurants that are, you know, doing takeoff of Mexican foods and things like that. So when you come to LA, you know, they're advertising because, you know, you're in LA, you want to be like an Angelino, you know, eat at this particular place, right? But, you know, they're taking things a step further. And I'm going to throw this out here. They're making plant-based Mexican food, okay? So plant-based meaning non-meat at all, right? So, you know, tacos that may be made with vegetables or some of the ground meatless meat that, you know, that is available, the Beyond Meat and things like that. You know, so they're making tacos and enchiladas and all kind of food with that stuff now, right? So that takes it, you know, takes it to another level because now you're appealing to people that don't eat meat, right? So people like myself that I don't eat meat. I follow a plant-based diet, and that's what I do. A plant-based lifestyle is what I follow, not a diet. A diet is like, I'm only doing this for a temporary amount of time, right? And I'm going to get off of it. No, this is my life, right? I'm a plant-based person. That's it for life, right? Plant-based for life. Okay. In fact, I'm going to do everything I start doing when I post food on my social media platforms. I'm going to put hashtag plant-based for life, or maybe por vida. Okay. P-O-R-V-I-D-A. That's for a lifetime, forever. Okay. That's it. Hashtag. What did I say? Plant-based por vida. Okay, that's what I'm gonna start doing. Okay, and then I'll do the for life too. But yeah, por vida. That's what I'm gonna come up with now. Okay, so follow that hashtag, and you're gonna see everything that I post. It's gonna be about plant-based. Remember, a couple weeks ago, I read something, and I'm not a vegan anymore, right? Because vegan has, you know, different meanings to different people, right? So I may eat things that are vegan, but I myself am not vegan. I follow a plant-based lifestyle. Okay. So I need to distinguish that, you know, no more will I hashtag vegan and all that stuff because I'm not a vegan. And I just, like I said, I read something and I don't want to get confused or confuse people that, oh, Russell's a vegan. No, Russell's not a vegan. Russell follows a plant-based lifestyle. So that's what I do. Okay. So anyway, I was going with this tourism thing. So, you know, you got sustainable food and this and that. So you got people that are going out, restaurants, hotel restaurants or freestanding restaurants. You know, they're taking advantage of the local farmers, or, you know, sustainable farming and things like that. And we got all these farmers markets. That's one thing about L.A. You got farmers markets every day of the week somewhere in L.A. And if that's downtown, if that's Beverly Hills, if that's Santa Monica, West L.A., they have in the Valley. They have those things. In fact, they have one across the street from here that starts at 3:00. So I can't think. I think it's Westfields right here on, I don't even know what street it is, right here on off of Ventura Boulevard, Riverside, off of Riverside and Woodman, right at the mall right there. they have a farmer's market there. So you get, you know, all this fresh produce and things like that, that are most of it's organic, meaning there's no pesticides and things like that. So a lot of these restaurants are taking advantage of that because they know there's an influx of people, especially LA, where you get 50 million people that visit LA. You know, you want to make sure your destination is not just about, I mean, Hollywood, they come here because of the stars and Hollywood, things like that. But you want them to continue to come back because of the food, right? So LA is going to be turned into this food destination, right? Other places will be like that too. I mean, everybody has their own different things, but I just been noticing that. In fact, this Saturday, I just happened upon this kind of, it was a food thing going on. They call it the Urban Foodie Experience. And it happened to be in Carson. I was coming back. I was studying out in, I don't know, Cerritos area. And I was coming back and I got off the freeway, 405 freeway, because I hadn't been like near the Hilton in Carson, which is now the DoubleTree in Carson. That's where I used to work. So, you know, I haven't been by that hotel in a while. So I got off the freeway and just so happens, right, the parking lot right next to that, they were having this urban foodie experience. And you would be amazed how many of the vendors were plant-based vendors. They had nothing but plant-based foods. And I happened to get this cheesy waffle fries with no cheese, right? It's cheesy, and I'm pretty sure the mixture was made with, or the non-cheese item was made with probably cashews is what I'm going to think. Because I've done this before where you mix or blend, you soak your cashews for like, I don't know, several hours until they get plump. You drain the water, you soak them in water, do it for an hour, okay? So they get plump. You put them in a blender, you add a cup of water, you do like a clove of roasted garlic, you salt and pepper it, you put some rosemary in it, you blend it, and you put this stuff called, I can't even think of it now. It's something that makes it, it's called something yeast. Well, anyway, and I'll have to think about it and I'll have to mention, if not today, if I don't remember, but next week, you mix it, it's called something yeast. Anyway, you mix it in there and it gives the flavor, gives the cashews the flavor of cheese, right? So again, the more you put in it, the cheesier it tastes, but it's not cheese. It's a plant-based product. So you use that, you blend it, and you can blend it thick or you can blend it smooth or lighter or however you want to do it. And you heat it up. It keeps in the refrigerator. I've used it for like, instead of eating like Alfredo sauce, you know, for pasta, I'll use that instead of using Alfredo sauce. But it gives it a cheesy flavor, right? So that's what they use. So they use that. They fried up some waffle fries, threw that on there with some chives and some onions, some fried onions and things like that. Man, this stuff was so good. It was ridiculous. I ate so much. I was so stuffed after that. It was crazy. But they also had this hot chicken. You know, hot chicken is huge now, right? Coming out of Nashville. Well, normally like Popeyes and KFC, I think they have their version of a chicken sandwich or hot chicken or whatever. Well, that's the latest craze, and just in case you didn't know. But they had this in the vegan. I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to say that. And a plant-based. They had this plant-based chicken sandwich. I didn't get that, but it was plump and everything. It looked good. I just didn't get it because I, you know, started with the fries and that was enough for me. But yeah, so LA is becoming this foodie, not that it wasn't before with all the cultures that live here, but I'm really starting to notice that you can, and especially when you're plant-based and that's all you eat, there's more plant-based options anywhere than anywhere I've ever been, anywhere in LA than anywhere in the United States, okay? So I'm just throwing that out there. So, yes, I'm definitely true on that. That's a fact. There's more plant-based things to eat, either restaurants that are 100% plant-based or restaurants that have a section in there on their menu that's plant-based. So you can't go wrong in LA if you're trying to be plant-based. So just so you know. I don't know how I got on all that stuff, but that was the industry news, right? My goodness. And I took like 30 minutes on that. So you can tell I'm on one today. I'm fired up. So I'm talking today. So let me take a drink of water, you know, before I continue. contact information. How do you get a hold of Russell of Hotels, this guy that's talking about food like there's no tomorrow? Contact information, Russell at russellofhotels.com, Twitter at Russell of Hotels, IG, Instagram, Russell of Hotels, LinkedIn, Russell L. Edmond, Facebook, Russell L. Edmond, and Russell of Hotels. Yes, that is correct. I do have two Facebook pages. And my website, www.russellofhotels.com. And like I said, the show is live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. PST. That's Pacific Standard Time. Okay, so if you're on the East Coast, it comes on at 4 o'clock. Okay, so just so you know. Like Victor, if Victor, you're listening, Victor Simmons, it comes on at 4 o'clock. You're in New Jersey. Okay, or Coleman Patton, if you're listening, it comes on at 4 o'clock out there in Atlanta. Okay, so there you go. But I mentioned those people because, I mean, I know they listen every now and then. And we got a reach of, you know, like I said, those are just two people that are on the East Coast that listen. But we have people in the Bahamas, Jamaica, coming out west. We got, you know, people as far as the Philippines that listen, people in the UK listen, people in Canada listen. And they may not listen to it live, but they, you know, they've told me that they do listen, you know, either the podcast or whatever. Once it be, you know, once the show is over, it does become a podcast. So you can go to your whatever your favorite podcast platform and you can find On Air with Russell of Hotels. Hey, a quick I'm going to do the sponsorship first. Sponsorship opportunities. If you're interested in that, it hit me on one of those contact things that I gave you. You know, either the On Air, Russell at russellofhotels.com, which is my can't even speak, email address, or you can call me 310-467-5848, and that's on my website, so it's not like I'm giving something that's not out there anyway, but check the website, russellofhotels.com, and you'll see my phone number and email address as well. So if you're interested in doing sponsorship, like say, you know, you have a promotion coming up in your at your hotel, you want to get that out, you have open opportunities, meaning you have a, you know, a general manager position or director salesperson, front desk manager, whatever position you have available, you can always contact me and I'll put that out there because we do have people to listen to it, right? So we got 50-50, 50% hospitality people listen and 50% users, meaning or buyers, users, buyers, meaning people that would buy your hotel services, right? And our feeder cities happen to be LA, Orange County, New York, San Francisco and Chicago. Okay, those are our feeder cities. So if you're interested in any kind of promotion, advertise, you see my Russell of Hotels logo that's displayed right there. Just imagine your logo is displayed right there. Okay, or your picture or nothing. Yeah, something like that. So if you're interested in that, please feel free to reach out to me. What is Russell of Hotels Group? Business development. I have a partnership with Broughton Hotels. So say they're, well, not say, they, they have 15, 16 hotels now. They want to grow that. Say they want to double by the end of the year. So my job is to find hotels, hotel owners that are in, that have properties that don't want to manage it, manage the hotels themselves. So my job is to introduce them to Broughton Hotels, right? And let them know that, you know, this is a viable company, organization's been around for, I think I'm going to say since 2000. And currently they manage, you know, 15, 16 hotels. And my job is connect and collaborate, right? Connecting people. So that's another way that I connect people, an owner who needs a management company. Marriage made in heaven, right? So there you go. My job is to collaborate, find those people, connect those people together, right? So I'm actually doing that for Broughton Hotel. So that's one of the things I do. Financial planning is another thing that I'm doing or in the process of doing. One thing I identified, and I mention this every week, one thing I identified is that we as hotel people, we kind of move around a little bit. So we kind of neglect or forget about our like our life insurances, because once you leave one, if it's not a portable life insurance, it doesn't leave with you, right? Meaning if you have life insurance with a hotel company and you leave to go somewhere else or you get terminated or whatever the reason is, that life insurance policy stops, okay? And it doesn't cover your family either. So just in case you did not know that, it does not cover your family. So my suggestion is always get your own. That way it goes where you, wherever you go. If you stop working, you retire, And the younger you get it, the better, because it's cheaper as you, you know, the younger you are, the cheaper your life insurance policy would be. So if you have any questions about that, you can always call me and I can, you know, point you in the right direction. That's, there we go with the collaboration and connecting of people. Okay. Also, I can sell the life insurance myself. But anyway, SIE Series 6, Series 65, those are securities licenses that I'm in the process of studying for, and hopefully, fingers crossed, pass those tests where I can offer 401ks, mutual funds, rollovers. Because another thing I identify with our hospitality family is that if we've been to so many hotels, right? I mean, I worked at 14 different hotels, okay? So over the course of my career, and probably I've had five or six different 401ks that I forgot and left them at the company, right? Well, you need to take those with you and roll them over into something else. Put them in another 401k that you kind of control, right? You don't leave it at the company that you left. You take that with you, okay? And then you make sure you're managing it or have someone manage it, but not the company, the old company. You don't want the old company to have access to that, okay? So you're leaving the money with them. Why would you leave money with someone you no longer work with? So I can show you, I can connect you with someone that can help. Until I get my license, I have to connect you with someone, right? So, in fact, Chris was on my show. What is it called? His show, his company is Wealth After Work. So I can connect you with him, and he can, you know, set up a mutual funds, 401ks, things like that. So that's another way of connecting people. Like I said, I started with the family or the industry that I'm involved in, and that's the hospitality industry. So we're all family, right? So I'm here to assist where I can. That's where that collaboration and connecting the people comes in, okay? So don't remember that. Hotel site selection, I do that as well, hotel site selection. So my job for companies, organizations, nonprofits, for-profits, law firms, whatever, Google, whoever, to help them find the right hotel for their meetings, right? So if they're traveling to San Antonio, Texas, and they're not really familiar with the landscape, their hotel landscape, my job is to find the hotel for them that's suited for them based on their budget, you know, location, whatever the specifics are of that. My job is to find that. So just I just got a call before this show that someone needs a meeting in San Bernardino, of all places. You know, they have hotels there too, right? I didn't realize that. No, that's a joke. People from San Bernardino. My sister actually lives in San Bernardino. That's a joke, Marcia, okay? But someone asked me to do a meeting there, right? So I'm in the process of sending out a lead for that, an RFP, request for proposal, to several hotels in San Bernardino. I don't know if they have several, but at least one hotel I'll be sending out an RFP for. And also, I did one in Vegas. I mean, these are all recent stuff. Vegas, Laughlin. So those are, doesn't matter where it is, those three meetings just happen to be, and I just did one in San Diego too. So those four meetings just happen to be in those areas, but I've done meetings all over the U.S. And worked on some outside of U.S. as well. So that's another thing I do, digital marketing. If you check my social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, I'm always posting something about somewhere I've been, something that I've eaten, some restaurant, hotel I've been in. It's either stuff I do on my own or the hotels or destination ask me to do it for them. So those are things that I do as well. So that's digital marketing. And then radio show hosts, last but certainly not least, radio show hosts. So my show is On Air with Russell of Hotels, hashtag Hospitality Unplugged. I interview today's hospitality professionals today, with the exception of today, right? It's just me. And I'm getting used to me just talking myself, right? But, you know, no, I have guests on as well. In fact, I had 21 guests on last year. So don't worry, we're going to have guests on here as well. So before I move on, I wanted to send a shout out to Ernesto Alonso, sales manager at the Sheraton Universal. Now, Ernesto and I used to work together at the Sheraton. He was actually a catering manager then, so recently got smart and moved over to sales. So he actually let someone know that I have a radio show, and that's why I'm giving him a shout out today, because I just got a text right before the show started from a Miss LaFay Baker, who is Is she in hospitality? She's a stunt woman. Okay. She is a one of the few female black stunt women, and probably one of the first ones here in LA. Okay. I'm just gonna throw that out there. She is a trailblazer. Okay. And she wanted me to mention that they're having she sent me something. Let me see, because I have to give her a shout out, right? So shout out to LaFay Baker, Action Icon. It's a celebration, or it's an annual event, because I know about it because they had it at the Sheraton. When I was at the Sheraton as the director of sales and marketing some years ago, Action Icon had their celebration or dinner or award ceremony. I guess that's what it is. Their award ceremony there. And I think it's always around when the Oscars are or something like that, maybe the week before, week after, something like that. So it's in March. But I'll talk more about this later. She just actually texted this to me earlier today, so that's why I'm giving her a shout-out and Ernesto a shout-out, because Ernesto is the one that handled her event as a catering manager. So she knows Ernesto very well, and Ernesto knows her very well, and we all know each other very well. So, of course, I'm going to say that's how it works, right? So it's all about the collaboration. Does LaFay Baker have anything to do with hospitality? Maybe within the stunt women's organization. I don't know. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to mention her on my show, right? So we go beyond the walls of hospitality sometimes, or the hotel or tourism or whatever. But that is part of tourism, right? People come here to see movies being made, you know, things like that. Well, LaFay Baker is right in the middle of that. So she's been a stunt woman for, I don't know, 20, probably 30 years or so, right? And I don't see, she's not that big. I don't see how she can be, but she's actually, must be a tough lady, because she's been a stunt woman for a long time. So LaFay Baker, look, check her out, or, look her up, do a Google search for LaFay Baker. She actually held a Guinness World Book of Records. She was in the Guinness World Book of Records back in the 70s, I think that's what she told me, or maybe early 80s, where she was a hula hoop champion or something. So she did hula hoop more than anyone else. I guess she was a teenager then, though, right? So maybe she held a teen title in the Guinness World Book of Records, something like that. You'd have to look it up, but I do remember. Maybe I have her on the show and she can tell me about that stuff. But anyway, so shout out to Ernesto Alonzo, good friend. We still keep in touch, although I'm not there anymore. And LaFay Baker, good. So a shout out to both of those people. So, okay, so that's that. I already talked about that. Who's on blast? The same people on blast, okay? Brian Churchill, LA Tourism. You're on blast, dude. It's not going away, okay? So just call me up and come on the show. You don't even have to come on the show. We can do this over the phone, right? We can do it over the phone. So you can be wherever you are, in your car, in your office, at a trade show, at lunch, at dinner, or however you want to do it, Brian. Just do it, okay? Like Nike says, just do it. Carol Motley, C-Mott, a.k.a. C-Mott, right? So Carol Motley, Director of Convention Sales, Destination D.C. Luis Torres, Universal Studios. Stephanie Corsino, Hong Kong Tourism. You're on blast, okay? What does on blast mean? Blast means I want you on the show. I respect what you do. I like you, obviously. I don't get anybody on the show that I don't like. No, I don't dislike anyone. I don't even know why I even said that, but I don't dislike anyone. I mean, I'd approve of some things that people do, but I don't dislike anybody. But no, I want those people on the show. I respect what they do, and I want them on the show because everyone has a story, right? I have a story. How I started. Stephanie, Louise, Carol, Brian Churchill. They all have stories of how they began in the hospitality industry, where they started, where they are now, things like that. So that's what we want to talk about. Like, what do you like about your job? What don't you like about your job? Whatever. I mean, just simple questions. And these are questions that they should know the answers to, right? So if they don't know the answers to them, well, maybe they shouldn't be on the show. Oh, that was a good one. Introduction of today's topic. Now, today's topic is going to be real simple. Is it really a topic? It's this. And I got this from, who knows, Rupesh Patel. He's like this, he's always on LinkedIn. I think he's a hotel owner, but he always has some some very good points about certain things, right? He always makes the stuff he puts out is it resonates with people like myself because we stay in hotels. So he's more on the operational side. So he always has some good information about different things in the hospitality. And today is 10 traits of a great front desk agent. Okay, this is something he wrote. So I got to give credit to where credit is due. Some of the stuff I don't come up with. If I come up with it, then I'm not going to say anything. But if someone else comes up with it, then I have to mention that this came from someone else, right? Because it's them. I want to put them out there too. I want to put them on blast. Okay. So I respect. I never met Rupesh Patel. Rupesh. I never met him before other than on. We're LinkedIn together, or we're linked together on LinkedIn, and we like each other's stuff and all this kind of whatever. But I respect what he does, though, right? Because he has a huge knowledge, and obviously he lives it because he's always posting things about it. And he has a little bit more followers or people that are linked into him on LinkedIn. You know, I look at that stuff, Rupesh, okay? He has like 31,000 people on LinkedIn that follow him. That's a lot for LinkedIn. I only have like 26. So, you know, I need to get on the stick here. So, but anyway, these are 10 traits of great front desk agents. The first one is empathetic and caring. You know, you got to empathize with people because everybody is not coming there smiling and having a good time when they check in the hotel. I mean, they may have had issues with, you know, and let me just say this. The front desk at a hotel, everything goes on there, right? If it happened in a restaurant, they come to the front desk and complain, right? They may say something to the restaurant, but I guarantee you they're going to come to the front desk because the front desk is like the central nervous system, right? So everything happens there. And everything happens there and then disseminates to other departments, right? Even though it started somewhere else. So anything in my room, I'm calling the front desk. Anything in the valet, I'm calling the front desk. So just remember that. So empathetic, you know, knowing what's going on with that particular guest that's checking in and caring about, you know, what's going on and how can I assist you? Okay, well, I apologize for this. Well, how can I assist you? What could we do better? So that's the first trait of a good front desk agent. Second one, willing to go above and beyond. You know, sometimes people like, you know, you check in or, I mean, you go to the desk and some people just, quite frankly, some front desk clerk will just blow you off like, okay, well, I'll let the next person take care of that, right? I work in the morning, and I know when this thing is supposed to be done, I'm not going to be here. The afternoon shift will be here. So I can, you know, I can say whatever and not do it and let someone else pick it up, right? But no, the good ones, they go above and beyond and do whatever it takes for the guests, right? You know, within reason. I mean, you're not going to go crazy. I remember this one guy. His name was Jeff. This was in my experience at the Sheraton in Sacramento, which is actually in Rancho Cordova. That's where the Sheraton was, which is now a Marriott now, right? This guy named Jeff, I don't remember Jeff's last name, but he was a bellman, right? And he had this guest, and maybe it had rained or something the day before or whatever. Well, the guest, his car was dirty, muddy, spotted, whatever. And Jeff noticed this, right? The guest never told him to wash the car, right? But he knew the guest from being engaging with the guest. He knew the guest had an appointment or something, like something that was very important for him, right? So what he did was he pulled his car around back and washed his car. And he didn't get authorization for anyone. You know, sometimes it's better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission, because I guarantee if he went and asked his supervisor, the supervisor probably would have told him no. So Jeff said, you know what, I'm just going to do it. So I happened to be walking around back and I see him wash the car. I said, Jeff, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm washing his guest car. You know, Jeff did, you know, a lot of times the bellmen to do things for money, right? I mean, of course, they want to get paid or whatever. But he was actually doing it out of the, you know, the goodness of his heart. I mean, and he went above and beyond to take care of that guest. So guess what I did? I started helping him. I was like, let me dry off while you doing this. So, I mean, things like that. I mean, you can't, believe me, when you have an employee like that, you want to make sure you take care of him as best you can, right? Because that's not every guest, not every associate or employee that will go above and beyond like that and wash a guest's car, you know, when it wasn't even expected. That guest, I mean, he was a guest for life after that. And that's what you want. So there you go. So willing to go above and beyond. Number three, ability to anticipate guest needs. Okay, that was, you know, just to go back to Jeff again. I mean, he anticipated that that guest was going to need his car washed, right? Well, he just eliminated that from the equation. So the guest could just concentrate on his appointment that he had to do, right? So there you go. So anticipate the guest needs. Another way to anticipate, you check in. I mean, you're at the front desk, you're an agent, whatever, and you see a guest with a baby. You know, well, the baby's going to have certain needs. I mean, I would check the system. Did we have a crib reserved, you know, baby crib? Or is there a refrigerator in there? Because, you know, baby's going to need to keep whatever milk cold or whatever. I mean, things like that. That's anticipating a guest needs, right? So there you go. Or a guest calling, so I'm in a hurry to get to an appointment. You know, okay, you can come down here and you get something to go. Maybe call the restaurant and have a to-go, you know, something, a cup of coffee and a donut or a Danish or something ready for them to get it and just run out. It's already been charged to the room, whatever. Just here you go, Mr. Smith. And, you know, all out the door he goes, right? So you're anticipating a guest need. So that's another good trait. Number four, being engaging and being inquisitive. Ask questions about the guests. You know, why are you here? You know, where do your travels bring you from? I'm from, you know, Japan. Okay, why are you here? I'm going to, I don't know, I have a meeting at Sony Pictures. You know, oh, well, Sony's right, you know, across the street, and, you know, our shuttle takes you there, blah, 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 blah. I mean, things like that will help you service the guests better. If you know what's going on, know where they come from, know where they're going, you will be able to assist the guests a little further. Being calm and composed. Like I said, the front desk is a central nervous system for a hotel, right? So guests come there screaming and yelling. And if you're screaming and yelling at them, that's not necessarily a good thing, right? So I'm not gonna, there's an experience that I had, but I'm not going to share it today. But you want to make sure you be as calm, as collected as you can, because guests look for you to, they look for the front desk people to explode, because, of course, they want to take it to the GM. I want something for free at that point. But if you can just remain calm and, sir, I understand you're having an issue, but I can't help you with you screaming at me, okay? You know, you have to be calm and composed. And 9 out of 10 times, those people will turn it around and they come back and apologize. Because I've had that happen before where guests were just giving me the business, right? Just screaming, yelling, cussing, blah, 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 blah. Oh, my God. But I'm just sitting there being calm. This is the later Russell, okay? This is not the early in his career Russell. This is the later Russell, okay? Because in the first 3 years, I would have given them the business, okay, which is not a good thing, right? But you know, you get older and you learn and things like that. But being calm and composed is always a recipe for success. Okay, always smile. Okay, no matter what kind of day you're going through, you gotta smile, right? You're at the front desk. You're sometimes the first people that the guests have contact with or talking to, right? So you want to make sure you're looking up, you're identifying them or acknowledging them that as they come up to you, how can I help you? But you should always do that with a smile. There's no excuse for desk people, front desk people, restaurant people, wherever, for not smiling. I don't get it, but it does happen. This number seven, knowledge about local area. Never say, I don't know. You know, where is this? Or, you know, how do I get to, you know, I don't know how you get there. Steve, do you know how to get there? You should say, never say, I don't know to a guest. I don't know. Oh, you should say, please allow me to find this information for you. Oh, Mr. Smith, oh, just please give me time to find this information for you. Now, you know what? I don't know where that is. You never want to say that, right? So knowledge of the local area is always important. And there's always maps and things like that where you can find information. And now we have Google. So you should never say, I don't know. So 1 minute, please. Let me check it out. And let me print this out for you. And then you can see exactly where it is. So we have so many tools now that we didn't have tools before. I remember having to break out a Thomas guide. You know, some people don't even know what a Thomas guide is, right? That's a map of, you know, how to get around. I remember back in the day, one of my jobs at Cal Poly before I graduated was we used to deliver refrigerators. Well, you had to know, you have an address, but if I'm coming out of City of Industry, I don't know where Simi Valley is and what the streets are and all that stuff. Well, you had to have a Thomas guide to get to find all that stuff out, right? But today, you just MapQuest it on Google or MapQuest it on your phone or whatever. So things are a lot different now. But But knowledge of the local area is important. Okay. So never take that lightly. Number eight, being resourceful. I guess that goes back to using the computer. I mean, use your resources. The resources are there for you to use. So good desk clerks use that. They're resourceful. I'm sure if you ask, and she's not a desk clerk, but she's a concierge, Sarah Dandashi. I know she knows all this stuff, right? She would probably wrote some of this stuff. Who knows? But I know that she, all these things, she has that trait or those qualities. I know she does. I don't even have to ask. But I throw her name out there? I don't know. But Sarah Dandashi is this internationally recognized concierge. So, you know, guests come to her and she, you know, finds these hard to get tickets or whatever they want. I mean, she finds these things for them. Restaurants that are hard to get into, all that kind of stuff. That's what she does. So I know she's resourceful. I just thought I'd throw that name out there. I'm name dropping right now, people. We're winding down, so don't worry. Energetic. You got to be animated. You know, like me, you got to be animated. You know, you got to, oh, sir, yeah, we have it here. Blah, 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 blah. You always want to be animated. You want to be energetic. You want, because you want, the guests will feed off of you, right? So if you're like, well, I think it's over here. Well, the guests are going to have an attitude at that point. But if you're energetic and, oh, I've been there and it's right down the street and blah, 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 blah. And you need to go there and talk to Tom. He's there. Just let him know that Russell sent you and blah, blah, blah. What now? Wouldn't that guess is you just got the guess in your hand at that point? He's just mud in your fingers, right? Just, oh my God. Okay, well, I'm going to that place now because you talked it up and you're so energetic about it. So there you go. Number 10 is a great ambassador for the hotel. So if you have all nine of those things, number 10, you have to be a great ambassador for the hotel, right? Because you know everything there is to know about that hotel, everything there is to know about the area. You're being calm and collected. You're, you know, being empathetic to the guests. You're helpful. You're doing all those things. You're crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's. I mean, you have everything it takes to be a great front desk agent. So those are 10 traits for good front desk agents. Came from Rupesh Patel. Google him or go to LinkedIn and link in with him and tell him Russell sent you. Tell him Russell was talking about him and his 10 traits for a great front desk person on the show, On Air with Russell of Hotels. Well, that's the show for today. So I want to thank you. See, I'm being energetic now. So I'm, you know, this is what it takes, right? Maybe I'll get more people. Maybe I'll get more than the two people that listen and buy to start listening to the show, right? I can't do a show without mentioning Blythe, right? So that's something for my mom to call me and say something about. But anyway, I want to thank everyone for joining me on Air with Russell of Hotels. We'll see you next Tuesday. Have a great week. Be safe. And I do appreciate everyone who listens. I don't take that lightly. And thank you. Take care. Deuces.
Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at russell@russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.